Brother Stephen said one of the first lessons he had to learn as a young boy in church there in Taiwan, or a younger man in Taiwan, he had to learn that lesson of praise. You know, that was the first lesson that David taught his troops. Those that were in Saul's kingdom, it says they were despondent, they were in despair, and they were distressed. Three D's. Distressed. Anybody here distressed? No. I come up with a fourth one now, so I'm adding one. There were three D's. They were despondent or distressed or discontented, but they were also in debt.
Discouraged, too.
There were a lot of bad D's going on with those people. They didn't like Saul anymore. He had taken too much from them in taxes. Anybody here identify with that? And because of it, austere, and it was difficult. They came out to where David was, and they wanted to belong to him. He was just running around in the wilderness. He didn't have a place really to stay. And so David got in front of those boys that had come out, and he said, okay, now we got to learn. What do you got to learn? We got to learn how to what? Fight. That's right. You got to learn how to fight. You've got to learn how to fight the enemy, because you never know when they might sneak up behind us. You've got to learn how to fight. Well, here's the first thing you do. And he didn't take out a slingshot, and he didn't take out a bow and an arrow, but he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. That was David's statement. Then he looked every one of them, every last one of them, square in the eyeballs, and he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. As we heard, there's victory in praise. The Lord opens up the prison doors. The Lord sets the captives free from things, inner bondages, sickness. How many people have been healed from their sicknesses simply because they praised the Lord? Brother Hans Waldfogel, who has founded our fellowship in New York, he said that when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord put a bell, as it were, into his soul. And the Holy Spirit could ring that bell anytime he wanted to. Well, if you knew Brother Hans, the bell rang a lot. More than just six times at breakfast or four times at dinner. But the bell just kept on ringing in Brother Hans. The Lord, the Holy Ghost did that. I don't know if you sell Daily Manna down in the bookstore. Daily Manna is a book of just quotes from Brother Waldfogel's sermons over the many years that he ministered. And there's one for every day of the year. And if you read that book long enough, you get to be able to quote Uncle Hans. And there's one of them that talks about praise being a shortcut into the presence of God. Praise is a shortcut. It really is. And I'm glad it's that way. It's a happy way. It's a joyful way. It's a way of rejoicing. It's not some austere, somber, you know, we've got to look like we're drowning in pickle juice or something. But it's joy, joy. And he then admonishes us, and it's only for our good to learn these lessons. And I'm glad that we can learn them. I'm trying to. You're trying to. We're trying to be taught. This is the school of the Holy Ghost. It's not the school of man. It's not the school of the Fellowship of Ridgewood or the Pilgrim Camp trustees. This is the school that God has brought us into in his word, and he teaches us. And he teaches us this way of praise. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. What a wonderful way to come back and come into the city of God. Rejoicing. It says they're the wayfarer, the unclean. They have no idea what that world is all about. They don't enter therein. Only the redeemed. Only those that are clean and washed in the blood. But once you are, there's a way. It's his way. It's a way of holiness, and it's a way of rejoicing. And we are brothers and sisters by the grace of God on the way. We're on the way that leads to glory. Goodbye, old world. I'm through with you. I'm not on that road anymore. I've long ago left Egypt for the promised land. And now, thank God, we can shout our praises, or as the song, sing your praises everywhere. Shout or declare his eternal name and his victory. Oh, thank God. Thank God we can. And that's, there's strength in praise. There's victory in praise. There's triumph in praise. Now, if you go back to the book of Esther, you find it there too. You find, and I think we've talked about already, and I don't know if everybody's picked up on it, but I believe that we found there in that book of Esther, way at the beginning, long ago, that there's that salvation or born-again experience. Esther, the human spirit, came into Mordecai's domain and family by the spirit of adoption. You've got to be born again. But then there's that work of sanctification. It's not over yet. He begins to then cleanse our hearts and work in us. And we need to allow that. If we don't allow that, if there's resistance to that, we become, again, overtaken by those wicked things. They get the better hand, and the word of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God is choked out somehow in a heart and in a life. The dog returns again to its vomit. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, you know, you've been freed from bondage. Now don't go back again and being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. No. How do you think you have begun in the spirit? Now, how in the world do you think you're going to finish? In the flesh? Do you think you're going to finish in your own strength? Do you think you're going to be made perfect because you listened to Haman? You've got to get rid of that thing, and you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to continue his work in you. You've begun in the Spirit. You're going to be made perfect by the Spirit if you let the Holy Ghost work out that salvation that is in you. Work it out with fear and trembling. God wants to work in you. And so we've been reading about that a lot. That's the bulk of what we've been talking about. And there, to that end, Ahasuerus, he has to die. That soul, that we have to die. Esther has to die. We have to make more room and get Mordecai on that throne. And last night, if you remember, I'm sure you do, we finally got to the place where Haman is unmasked. We know who he's all about. Finally, Ahasuerus realizes he's upset because of what he's now found out. He's not a very happy man as far as Haman's concerned. And I don't think he's happy when he looks at himself. I mourn the sin that drove me from thee, or whatever he was saying when he was taking a walk in his garden. But, you know, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's okay to feel sorry about your sin. It's okay to repent. And, if you weep tears, that's okay too. The most important thing is you turn around and go the other way. And that's what's going to happen in the kingdom here. And so if we begin with the 8th chapter this morning, just for a few minutes, we'll try to finish up at least something. We won't finish Esther, but we'll get close. It says that same day that Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther, then that same day as what? Same day that Haman was hung on the gallows. That same day, the king, the soul, Xerxes, gave Queen Esther, that human spear, the estate of Haman. Everything that Haman had, and he had a lot. I'm going to give it over to Queen Esther. She can handle it. She can take care of it. I'm going to give it all to Esther. And Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told the king how he was related to her. I've been adopted. And, you know, if I'm part of this whole thing in here, and, you know, King, you and me, and we're, it's not just me and you, King. We need Mordecai here. We got to bring him into the picture. He's important to this whole thing. He is necessary if we're going to govern well and run this kingdom right and have joy throughout the kingdom. It's not just me and you, soul and spirit, but we need the Holy Ghost. We need Mordecai. So she explained to him about Mordecai and how important he was in her life. The king took off his signet ring. Remember that ring? Man, that ring was all, that was trouble for the people of God. That ring spelled their doom. When Haman sealed it with the ring that the king had given to him, which he had received from Haman, and he presented it to Mordecai. Oh, that's it. He gave that ring the authority to make edicts, to seal documents, He gave that authority right over to Mordecai. And Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. Now, wait a minute. What do we got here? We got the king saying, Esther, I'm going to give you everything that belongs to Haman. All his territory, all his... And I'm going to give to Mordecai all the authority that had once been vested in Haman. And what does Esther immediately do? She turns around and she says, okay, thanks, but no thanks. Okay, thank you for giving me what you've given me, but here, Mordecai, I just want to give it over to you. It's not mine, it's yours. You handle the whole thing. So we find all of a sudden Mordecai, he's just kind of like in charge of everything. He's now governing. He's now ruling. He's now got the territory. He's now has the authority. There's been a tremendous change. There's now, I believe we can say, and we don't have to divide it into these segments like this necessarily, but we've moved from being born again to being sanctified by the Spirit of God. And now this is almost equating to my mind as now he's being filled with the Spirit. He's come under the control that is the soul of man and the spirit of man and eventually trickling down to the behavior in the body of man. It's now coming all under the authority and under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it takes when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we come under the control of the Spirit of God, when he rules and reigns within, when he sits on the throne of our hearts, and when we've just given everything over to him. Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my spirit. Lord, here's my soul. Lord, here's my body. Not just for you to take as a purchased possession, now I belong to Jesus, but Lord, I give you over everything, the reins of my heart, for you to control my life. Where now I want to come under your domain and under your authority, and I want to be held captive by you, and I want to come under your influence and your sway. I don't want to be drunk with the wine of this world. I don't want to be inebriated so that I walk and talk and think like and am influenced by this world, but I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be drunk with the Spirit so that my speech and my actions and my thinking and everything about me, every thought becoming captive to the obedience of Christ. Is that what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Is that what it means to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit? Yes, that's part of what it means. It's to give everything, spirit, soul, and body. Everything that you think you own and it's rightfully yours to say, you know what? Lord, I just want to give it all to you. And so that's what happens at the beginning of the chapter. As you go on down to verse 7, and I'm not skipping over anything because, you know, it's bad stuff and I don't know what to do. Read it sometime. You know, there are lessons all through this, but we just don't have the time to cover it all. But in verse 7, the king replies to Esther when she says, you know, do me another favor, by the way. You've killed Haman. You've spared my life, but... there's an edict out there. It says all the Jews are supposed to be killed. It's been signed with the king's ring. Haman wore it. He signed it. You signed it. And it's still in effect. And so a few days from now, and the whole people of God are coming under the... we're going to be killed. And so, of course now, being changed so drastically, the soul of man, Ahasuerus says, okay, we're going to wipe out and abolish that. We're going to forget about that. We're going to change all that. There's no more that. Now your people can live. Granted your request. So King Xerxes replies to Esther and to Mordecai the Jew. You see where it used to say King Ahasuerus and Haman was there, and Haman was there. King Ahasuerus and Haman right there in the courts. No more Haman. Dead. Every day. Dead. Every day. Next day. Dead. Still dead. Hanging there. Reckon yourself dead every day to sin, to Haman, and to alive unto Christ. And there's Mordecai right there. Mordecai the Jew. Because Haman attacked the Jews, I've given his estate to Esther. And they've hanged him on the gallows. Now write another decree in the king's name on behalf of the Jews, as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring. Who's sealing the thing now? Mordecai. Now you take charge. You overrule the rules and the edicts that the enemy has laid down. You turn over the things that the cankerworm has eaten away. You destroy in Adam's likeness, efface that. You take care of all the wickedness and wrath of what's been meted out and doled out. And so Mordecai seals that now with the ring. Written in the king's name and sealed with the ring so that all those laws could be revoked. And it trickles down to the 127 provinces that stretch from India to Kush. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble, to protect themselves, to destroy, to kill, to annihilate any armed force of a nationality or problem. The Second Amendment was protected under Mordecai. Not really. I mean, not our Second Amendment, but that's what it amounts to. You'll defend yourself. You'll take care of yourself. I'll watch out for you. You'll be able to fend for yourselves. And so it's all. And then you get down to the end. And let me just read the end of the eighth chapter. Mordecai left the king's presence. This is the way it's supposed to be with us. He left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white, large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like Mordecai is in charge. It sounds like he's ruling and reigning within. It sounds like even the king, although he's still the king, he realizes, you know, I can still reign and rule. I can still have that authority, but it's best for me to give it over. The Holy Spirit doesn't ever force himself and impose himself against your will. You read that in the last chapter of this book. The Holy Spirit is allowed and permitted by Ahasuerus. Only because he has good sense, the good sense enough to say, okay, I can stop, I can resist, but I don't want to. And I put the hat of gold on his head, and I give him a gold scepter or whatever he gave him, the colors of the garments of royalty. And listen to what happens when the Holy Ghost reigns. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness, a time of joy, of gladness, and of honor in every province and in every city. Wherever the edict of the king went, there was joy and there was gladness among the Jews with feasting and celebrating. What a wonderful change since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change since the Holy Ghost came in. What a wonderful change under Mordecai. I don't know how many times we read in two verses, joy, gladness, happiness, celebration. You know, that's really where we find ourselves, I think we do. I hope we do. We come together and really it's a time of joy. It's a time of rejoicing. As a matter of fact, it's just a life of joy. And a life of rejoicing, and a life of ceaseless praise, be this thy blessed portion throughout the coming days. The victory's been purchased on Calvary's cross. Haman, he has no dominion. The Son has made me free. And oh, thank God, I can shout my freedom everywhere. His eternal name declare victory. There's victory that I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, for the victory. But right in the midst of the troubles and trials, I can shout my freedom and sing my victory because I find that Jesus Christ answers praise. And so throughout the ages of eternity, and all through the body, all through the whole city or the provinces, 127, in every place, every province, in every corner of town, there wasn't anybody sitting all the way in the last row or anybody sitting all the way in the back that wasn't participating. Everybody in that whole kingdom, they all rejoiced. They all praised the Lord. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And oh, thank God, he makes those changes in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives, by the grace of God. And then that last verse, and many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them. And what's happening here? What would you call it if this was an allegory? What would you say that might be suggestive of? What's happening here?
The tables are turned now.
Well, the tables are turned and there is revival. What is that?
The Great Commission.
The Great Commission. This is almost like evangelism. Well, what happens when the Holy Ghost is poured out? What happened in Acts when the Holy Ghost was poured out? Yeah, the disciples went out filled with joy, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the transformation. These unlearned and ignorant men. They turned the whole world upside down. And many that weren't Jews became Jews because they saw. What does the Psalm 40 say? Oh, he lifts us out of the miry clay, sets our feet upon a rock, puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. They see what Jesus has done for you. They see and hear the joy, the exuberance, the praise. And they fear. What happened to these others? They feared the Jews and seized them. Now that's not a fear where, they're going to kill us. But the fear of God came there upon the people. And they see they see God. They see what he's done. And they put their faith and their trust. That's evangelism. That's missionary work. That's what we're called to do. But we're not called to do it until we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And you just keep going on and on with the story of Esther. But I'm going to quit because I'm 30 seconds over already. Just one more thing that I have to call to your attention. In the 9th chapter, forget everything in the 9th chapter. Read it on your own. Fit in what you can fit in. But in the 13th verse, this is what Esther said. If it pleases the king, give the Jews in Susa permission to carry out this day's edict tomorrow. King, request please. Let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on gallows too. What do you mean he's got more? There's more where this came from? We took care of Haman, didn't we? Haman's gone, done, dead. I wonder if Haman's sons were happy with what happened to Haman. What do you think? I don't think so. I mean, unless he was a real ogre at home, maybe he was. But they probably weren't happy campers. I hope they're all happy campers, but they weren't very happy about this all. Well, what do you got to do? What do you got to do? What do I have to do? Haman's gone, dead. Well, yeah, there's still more Haman. There's still more of his kind running around. There's still those enemies of the people of God. There's still the world and the flesh. Even though Haman is hung and killed and out of my heart and out of my life, there's still these others that would like to come and encroach and entrench. And you'll have war with Amalek, Exodus 17, the last verse, I think. You'll have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's not over. So every day we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Every day we walk in the Spirit. Why do we walk in the Spirit? So that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And thank God there's victory all the time, victory in Jesus. And I'm thankful for it. And I pray that the Lord will help me to live it and learn these lessons well. I want to be saved. I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I trust that every one of us has that strong desire that Jesus will carry us right through and give us full victory until we enter into his glory. Shall we stand together? I take the life of victory, not I but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives the victory. Thank you for it, Lord. We pray that we might lay claim and lay hold of it by faith in Jesus' name. May we enter into the fullness of what you have purchased for us. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Amen.